Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Usually we just have normal people on, but today we have Mylon Yurkovich and Alice Benton. Dr. Alice Benton. Hi, guys.
Wow, I love that intro. That's just great.
Steve, every time I see Mylon, I like to give him a comfort circle update because I use his book and his material so much in my life. Last night, my husband and I got pretty disconnected. And we were just making a lot of assumptions and had misconceptions about the motive of the other person and what we were saying and doing, especially in some little parenting struggles we're having. Our kids were struggling last night. But we used the comfort circle to listen to each other in a non-defensive way. Mm. And my husband came to me and said, I just need to clear the air. This is what I think you're thinking. We were both so far off base. But because we know how to listen to each other, we cleaned it up. We cleared it up.
Wow.
So yet again, Mylon, thank you.
Yet again, so, Alice, thank you. And Kay and I do that all the time because, you know, ruptures and repairs are common. I think one of the things, Steve and Alice, we need to make clear to our listening audience, there's no perfect relationship that's confrontational free. You know, that we all have ruptures, but can we successfully repair them? And the average couple can't. So it's very helpful to know how to do that. So thanks for sharing that.
And thank you, Alice, of always sharing what you and your husband are struggling with. I really appreciate it. I think other people can relate to your miserable marriage, and it gives them hope for their miserable
marriage. Pray for my poor husband that he could keep putting up with me.
Oh.
Hey, listen, I'm joking, but I got to tell you, one of the things that this program has helped people do on other programs is open up and share, and we're all in this together. And, you know, the worst thing in the world is to either not share what you're going through, or you're one of these Christians that you will never divorce. Now, that's a good thing, but you're miserably married. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a horrible divorce statistic, and I think there's a horrible miserably married statistic, too, and we don't want either of those. So let's go over here to Chris. Colleen, Texas, KBBW. Welcome, Chris. How can we help you here as we're getting close to year end? How's it going?
It could be a lot better, but we're going with a theme, it sounds like, with pornography and marriage issues. And
okay. Who's got the pornography problem? Who's got the pornography problem?
I do. I've had it probably for, I'm in my early 40s, probably had it for about 30 years when I first found the first magazine at my grandfather's house. And it's kind of been one of those off and on, actually fairly consistently in my adult life as a juvenile, kind of off and on, but still kind of pining for that next fix, if you will.
An addict. What is the worst thing that's ever happened to you because of it? What's the worst thing that's happened to you because of it?
I'm in a separation right now since July.
Oh. So,
yeah.
Sorry, Chris.
What did she she catch you using pornography, or does she just know, or what?
Well, Facebook actually had a lot to do with it. It was more not pornography in the I guess general sense of, you know, those type of pictures, but similar in general in the comments I made that were not very, you know, Christian or husbandly in any way, shape, or form. And she did not like that, and we've had plenty of issues with infidelity on both our sides.
She's been unfaithful to you.
She wants to walk away.
She's been unfaithful to you, and you've been unfaithful to her. Wow, that's rough. Okay, we're gonna talk about this just a minute. You're listening to New Life Live. Glad you are. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. You know, we're getting here to year end. Christmas just passed. Maybe it was a horrible Christmas. We can help you. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back and we're talking with Chris. So Chris, you're not just doing pornography, but you're connecting with other folks, and your wife has found out. Now, what have you done, if anything, to try to make things better? Anything?
Well, I have completely done away with social media in any way, shape, or form. None whatsoever. I am fully transparent in everything I do, trying to let her know where I am at all times. I'm in the military, so I'm at work a lot during the day.
Let me cut to the chase here, because you'd have to say you've got a character problem, right?
Yeah.
So it's not just avoiding social media or something. You've got to do something about that character, because it's time you became a real man with sexual integrity and purity, and you can deliver to her a new guy. Boy, that's when this thing has a lot of hope. But you saying, I'm going to avoid this, won't do that, and nobody has to know I have a problem and I don't have to confess to anybody, I don't think that's going to win her heart back.
I know, and I didn't get a chance to finish. I'm actually in counseling for this, for addiction, as well as some other issues I'm working with as well, PTSD and whatnot as well.
Okay.
So, sorry, I didn't get a chance
but
to finish
you need,
that,
but you, yeah. need, you need something that addresses this issue directly. Alice, so you're married to somebody, and if they come to you and say, well, I'm gonna be more honest, or you know, I'm gonna try harder, I don't think that works. What do you think, Alice?
Well, it is a start, Chris, and you're doing some things that any good therapist that works with this would tell you to do. And you're calling us, and you're confessing, and we love when guys like you do that, because other men need to hear this, because you're certainly not alone in the struggle.
That's right.
But I sure hope you already have Every Man's Battle, the book, and you're reading that, and Worthy of Her Trust, and you're reading that, and you're putting these things
into action. Yep, I actually have them.
Oh, Chris. All right. Good. Then you are gathering together the ingredients that can make a change. And I hope once you've put some work into this and you can show proof of the change to your wife, that you'd start talking with her too about the reparative work that can happen without throwing her infidelity into her face. She certainly made a big mistake on that, but keep the focus on you and on what you did wrong.
Yes.
You know, the bottom line,
Mylon, do you have, go ahead, Mylon.
Yeah, Chris, the bottom line here is that this is a heads up to everybody, that your first exposure was your grandfather's magazines. And, you know, I think all of us have to ask ourselves as human beings, men and women, but especially men, you know, what do we have in our houses? And, you know, what could somebody discover? When I had a major surgery 11, 12 years ago, and I had my son and a good friend over, and I said, look, you'll find no secrets in my office. If I don't get through this surgery, you'll find no secrets. There's nothing in here that you're going to that's hiding that you're going to discover. And I think we all have to stop and ask, what's the influence of what we do to other people? But if you've had an addiction since a young child or an adolescence, then you've learned, and I loved how you said it. I don't like what you said, but I love the way you expressed it. I get a hit, or I get a rush or an adrenaline rush every time I look at porn.
Yeah.
And that provides relief for the pain I feel inside. It provides relief for the things that hurt so bad. And that's one of the things I hope you're working on with your therapist, is how do I, as Alice said, to bring my real self into relationship. And it's not just stopping something, and that's half the battle, but it is putting something instead in place, which is to learn connect to horizontally with somebody else. And I empathize with you because many men start their pornography addictions as young boys or young adolescents.
And Chris, you did start off vulnerable because other people in your family already opened the door to this, especially even on the spiritual side. If a previous generation did, you are so much more likely to struggle in this area too. So I also want you to consider with your therapist working towards the forgiveness towards your grandfather that he opened the door, and forgiveness of yourself and of your wife for her infidelity too. You'll need all of that to be strengthened spiritually and get the grace you need to keep moving forward.
Steve, I really like Taking Your Life Back also is a powerful book for saying, you know, my life was taken hostage by somebody else or an addiction or whatever. And Steve and Steve's book, Take Your Life Back, is saying, how do we start where we're at and then move forward by reclaiming our territory that God gave to us but we lost?
Well, I'm going to send that to you. But here's the thing, Chris. Do you listen to the program very much?
Yes, sir.
Well, why wouldn't you
I have, actually. I found your station, yeah.
Okay. Why wouldn't you just pack up and go to Every Man's Battle? Why wouldn't you just say, I'm going to go to the workshop that guys go to get their act together? Why not that? I mean, you're in tears here. You're courageous. Go do that. I mean, there's nothing that...
Yeah.
I mean, I just said something that's not true. I was about to say there's nothing that would make her believe more, but... There are some things, but there are there are 6-week-long programs, 1-week-long programs. This is a weekend. And so, I mean, and you get so much help for so long. I'd like you to consider it. And I'm really glad you called. And I'm with Alice here. You are courageous. You're open. So let's move beyond just eliminating the bad stuff. Let's get some good stuff going here. And this, you could turn it around. A lot of people say, there's nothing I can do. There's so much that you can do. You really can. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want to find out about the Every Man's Battle Workshop, it's going to be in January, coming up on January the 10th in Washington, D.C. Yes, Alice?
Well, I was thinking, Steve, about how that weekend breaks the chains of shame.
Mm-hmm.
Because you, Chris, may think, I'm the only one. I'm the only one that's messing up my marriage like this. But you go to that weekend and you find out there are so many men that have decided to turn things around.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start revealing those secrets and other men say, yes, me too, it just it changes the whole game and it gives you a strength and a courage that you can't have on your own without other men battling this alongside you.
Yeah. And I'm going to add one more thing. Okay. Every male, whether they're married or not, see, a lot of times we're saying we need to work on this to repair our marriage or bring something to our spouse. But every male needs to work on this, even if they're not married, because it's to please God. He wants us to possess our vessels, our bodies, in sanctification and honor. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4 that He is the avenger if we're not. So I'd like to get out of the sights of God, because He disciplines Christians who violate sexual boundaries with other people, and whether I'm married or single, and we're not supposed to do that. And I think it's serious, and we need to really take that to heart. God is serious about the holiness of our sexuality.
Mm, amen. All right. Thank you for that, Mylon. And I just wish that would be a challenge for every man that, hey, look, God's not blind. God is not distracted.
Nope.
And He's not disinterested. He wants great things for you, but you've got to do what it takes to get it out of your life. And look, you can sit around feeling all the shame you want. It's easy to get caught up in this, but you're the one that has to get out of it. Let's go to Nina, Anaheim, California. KKLA is the station. Hi, Nina. Welcome.
Good morning. I don't know, morning.
Hi.
Hi. I have 2 sons. One is blind. The other one is 9 years old. I noticed that he has a lot of behavior problems. I feel that we have paid too much attention. Not too much. I pay more attention to the other one. And also, guests, whenever he come over, we always talk about the other one instead of him. He talks a lot at school and at home. And I feel that he doesn't feel that himself is enough. He always try to do things just to get people's attention. Like, for instance, when he does the test, he would like to be number one who finished, even though he didn't. Then later on, he found out that he didn't fill out one of them or something like that.
Yeah. So okay, what's the question for question us then, Nina?
Yes, how do I get this feeling not enough away from him?
Great question. Mylon, you want to start us off on this?
Well, sure. Nina, I think you already have the most important ingredient, which is I see what the problem is. I understand why this problem is there. Your 9-year-old is angry and he's competitive. He's trying to get people's attention. And often, and Kay and I explain this, and we teach this in our book, How We Love Our Kids, our children's bad behavior is simply an immature language of emotional pain, oftentimes. And so to stop and talk about it with him, if you feel, and you sound capable, Nina, but if you feel incapable or lacking or not quite knowing what to do, I would definitely want to sit down with a therapist and you and your husband and your 9-year-old and talk about the imbalance. I grew up in a home where I had a handicapped older daughter, and yet I always felt as though the attention was, an older sister, I should say. And I always felt that there was a balance of attention, that we both got the same amount. I think my parents did a good job of that. And so that's a difficult thing to manage. And I love that you're attentive to it and you can observe it. You just need to sit down with your 9-year-old and just say, we recognize there's a concern here and we want to balance it out. And give me your feelings and how do you feel about your brother? Because if he's angry, he could be very jealous and envious of the attention he gets.
All right. I'm really believing that with a little bit of focus change, this 9-year-old can really see that, hey, there was a problem. Mom saw it, and she responded to it. I'm worthy. Alice, anything you want to say here?
Well, just confessing this as well, Nina, I realize we've overlooked you a bit.
Yeah.
And isn't it hard that your brother needs so much from us? I bet that makes you angry. I bet that's very hard for you. But it's also important to not just validate his feelings, but also to put consequences to his bad behavior. So don't just accept the behavior because you understand it, but consequence it. And then lastly, I would hope for his father to pursue him in particular, to maybe take him out on a special activity that it's just dad and the 9-year-old, and to do that on a regular basis.
Yeah. All right, Nina, so glad that you called.
Can I say one more thing, Steve?
Yeah,
you bet. It would be important not to also to do a special thing like that is a great idea, but not to restrict the 9-year-old to things that the blind son can't do, so we restrict the 9-year-old from doing them also.
Right, that's not good.
And so it could be that the 9-year-old goes and does things that the blind son can't do, and it's okay to celebrate that.
Right.
And then the older son will have a challenge with that, and that it deserves attention too.
Well, you have to teach the 11-year-old to grieve appropriately the things that cannot be done and accept that.
Right.
If you're always keeping it the same, then maybe that doesn't come about, and then life becomes really hard after age 18 or 20. And then it has detrimental effect on the 9-year-old. So I love that. All right, I'm going to send you How We Love Our Kids, because how we love our kids sure has a lot to do with how we're going to love life in the future, with them or without them. Anybody else, you can get a copy of How We Love Our Kids. helps you to attach securely to these young ones who mm-hmm. need security. That security is a rare thing, sadly, in this day and age. We'll take a break. We'll come right back for more New Life Live. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you could help us here at year end, ooh, it's really year end. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and say, I want to be part of the New Life Giving Fam.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We were just talking about Dennis Prager's study Bible. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. I don't have it yet, but I'm going to get it. I'm hoping maybe somebody will give it to me for Christmas. But he's a giant. He really is. He's something else.
Do you think Misty just caught that hint? Is she listening?
Well, Mylan did.
You know, she hangs on to every word.
Mylan got the hint.
I hope so. All right, let's go back to the phones here. And by the way, this is, well, you can't get through now, but you could call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And there is a person that woke up today and said, I'm going to change somebody's life. And you could be that person if you give them a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Okay, let's go to Kim. Washington, D.C. is the, let's click here for Kim. Washington, D.C., WAVA is the station. Kim, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful, and thank you so much for taking my call. Thank you all. You're so wonderful, and I try to get you every day, but sometimes I'm working and I can't. But
can you turn off the radio in the background? Can you turn on the radio? The background noise there is kind of distracting a little bit. I have attention deficit.
Is that good?
Okay, thank you.
You okay now?
Yeah, I am.
So, first about me. I had two husbands. The first husband of three children. I had three children by. He left me, had an affair while we were together, had a child while we were separated, and ended up marrying that woman. My second husband, I lost 4 years ago to suicide. He left the home in October 2015, went all the way across country to a place in Nevada, and committed suicide, I think, Valentine's Day. But by the grace of God, he has got me through both, and I am here to say that I know there's a God, and I love him, and he loves me. This really is not about me, other than the fact that I have to find out at the end of this message that I can figure out how to get a New Life Bible, because I need one. But this is about a good friend, a friend and her husband who were with me when I took my husband's ashes to the Carolinas to sprinkle his ashes. So I've been knowing them for over 25 years. They have been married over 25 years and together 30 years. They're in their early 50s. She just, I think, August the 3rd, they separated. As far as she knew, he was going to stay with a couple in a room, and she moved into a condo. She's finding out that that wasn't the case. He went to another woman. She's struggling. Okay. And I just want to know from you guys, what is the best way to help her?
Okay. Mylan, why don't you start us off here? That's pretty tough.
All you can do is cry with her. You know, I think one of my most favorite passages in the Bible is when Lazarus died, and Jesus walked into town to resurrect him from the dead. But before he did, and he didn't even tell Mary and Martha he was going to do this, they were very, very sad and grieving. And he sat down with them and just cried that they had to go through the experience of losing their brother, watching him take his last breath, washing and preparing him for burial, and burying him. Even though Jesus was going to resurrect him, the grief of what they went through, he cried with them. And I think that's the first and foremost thing we have to learn to do as Christians, and not say a word. However, you are one unique person, Kim, who can say at a later time, not early, but later, I've felt this grief. I was left. But I would cry first and talk later. And then I would make it simple. Okay. I felt this grief. I wouldn't try and tell her what to do. I wouldn't try to. If you're going to be a friend, I just want, they need to be just with you.
Hmm. Yes.
Alice, a thought?
I think if she's open to it, you could also offer to go to a grief support group with her. And to connect her with us, because if she doesn't have a therapist, I think she will need one during this time. But I would ask her, I've got two ideas to offer. Would you like them or not? Or would you like me to offer them later? Give her that power. But that might connect her to some comfort and some direction that she will need at some point.
Okay. Kim, do you think that's helpful?
That's very helpful. I thank you all okay. so much for that. I am now, listening to her. I've cried with her. Hmm. She's a bit of denial because she thought that they were going to have a chance, and now she mm-hmm. feels like now that you're with someone that he worked with, it started emotional hmm. and it went from there. So when he left all her, right. he went straight to this woman.
Mm. Okay. Well, I'm going to send you that. That one thing that you said, a New Life Bible, but I'm going to send you the Life Recovery Bible. Is that what you were talking about?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Okay. I'm going to send it. I'm going to send you a workbook with it because, man, that is really a powerful thing is to have that workbook to go alongside it. Anybody else, you can get it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. You know, what are you going to start the new year with? What tool? We all need a growth plan. Life Recovery's 12 steps. We've got a spiritual renewal Bible that's 7 keys. That's a growth plan. If you don't have a growth plan, get a growth plan for 2020. Start the decade right. Oh my goodness. What a great opportunity. We'll take a break. We'll come right back with more of Dr. Alice Benton and Milan Yurkovich. Milan K. wrote How We Love, and it has helped so many people improve and change and transform and learn how to love each other. You can get a copy of that, or you could come join us February 14th for our Marriage Intensive with Milan.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, and we have so many great things for you to start 2020 with. Look at the website, newlife.com. Go to the App Store and just download the free app. You can get the program anytime, all sorts of helps and stuff there, the devotions. It's all right there for you. Been doing this for 31 years. Can you imagine that? We want to do it for another 31. It's going to be tough, those last 20 for me, but I think we can do it. All right, here we go. Let's go to the phones, and let's talk with Mary from Seattle, Washington, listens on the internet.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How you
doing? Hi, I have a question that I'd like to ask, and I thank you for being there. I have a husband who has anger issues, and I'll say he's a really good husband other than that. And I recently found out that he was molested by a group of boys when he was young, but he'd never told anybody.
Mm.
So I think that's probably where the anger's coming from. I've heard you teach before that sometimes your emotional development can kind of have a pause when that happens.
Right.
So I want to know how I can help, and then I want a referral to a therapist in our area.
Okay. Well, Alice, what do you think?
Mary, how did you find out about this part of his history?
He told me about it. He had told me before that something bad had happened about a couple of months before, and he finally told me about it, said he'd never told anyone.
Wow.
So, and I think that's probably where his anger spells that happen about every 3 or 4 months. I think that's probably where it comes up, because my feeling is that most likely he feels less than. So if I say something that makes him feel bad, even unintentionally or something small, he can get have an out of order response sometimes, mm-hmm. and get very angry. And I have a feeling it probably stems from that. And I think he said he was, if I find him a therapist, he was willing to go.
Oh, wow.
So, but I want to know how I can help mm-hmm. him in the meantime.
Okay. Well, how can she help him, Alice? What do you think?
Well, first, expressing how proud you are of him, which you probably already have done, that he revealed this to you.
I also told him it was not his fault.
Then, Mary, you're really already taking the right steps. And so, through New Life, we can, of course, connect him with a therapist who has the training to help him with this history of sexual molestation. So I already think you're doing the right things, and that your husband has the trust in you to reveal this and to let you know he will accept therapeutic help. It shows me already the foundation that you have built with him, that he was able to bring this to you.
Yeah.
Sure.
Any thoughts here?
I agree.
Final thoughts?
I do, Mary. I have something different. I agree with everything that has been said so far, but I would add one element, and that is, and I'm unique in this respect, and it's not always agreed upon by other therapists, but I would want you to go in as a couple to therapy, because he's confessed this to you, and you were a part of the revelation or the exposure of it. And then you have the ability to be a part of the journey of healing. And so he's not just going off someplace and then coming home and giving you a few mm-hmm. words about what happened. You're able to walk along with him and then also be able to comfort him and to provide that. And what it could be for the two of you is a bonding experience that is extraordinary. And so I'd like you to possibly consider that.
I appreciate that. I have a question about that. I told him that I would go with him for some couples therapy afterwards, but I just thought if he was going to really get in touch with the grief, because I could see that when he was telling me about it, that he would be more comfortable revealing that to someone if I wasn't there.
And why would you? Why would you?
Of the pain and tears.
Why would you be that barrier? See, I would think if you
feel more embarrassed in front of me.
But you see, you're precisely the person he needs to let his shame be healed with.
Okay.
And Mary, you could let him decide that. You could offer, I'll go with you.
Yes,
maybe
yes.
That would help.
Yeah.
I'll even sit outside for part of the session if you mm-hmm. want, but I can be there if you want
sure.
me to be.
Yeah.
But Mary,
I'm willing to do whatever.
Hearing this pattern of anger, though, I also hope that you are protecting yourself from his anger outbursts. And putting a safe distance between the two of you when that comes up, because even though it's understandable, it still should not be tolerated, especially if he takes his anger out on you. So I'm delighted to hear he wants to get help.
And for Mary to have
protect yourself. I'm sorry.
I'm fine.
Well, and for Mary to have a voice to look at her husband and say, "This isn't about me." How much of this is about your past versus the present? And I just want to put you on notice, husband, that I'm not going to be the lightning rod for a history of anger. Now, that adult voice says, "I love you, but I won't take all of the mm-hmm. energy from the lightning bolt. It's not all mine." So,
good point.
Yeah.
Good point. Sometimes, as we hear, I've heard this with children that my children are grown, but I've heard that. Sometimes they take it out on the safe person that they know is going to love them anyway.
Sure.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Steve,
right.
What were you going to say? I kind of interrupted you, Steve. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Well, you never interrupt with something less than what I was going to say. But that's right. Less. But here's what I was thinking. This is a great call for mm-hmm. people to look at their own situation. Mm-hmm. Where you say, okay, I'm angry. I admit it. I see that. I'm having an impact on other people's lives because of this anger that's within me. I see it. Okay. I think it's because this other person needs to change, needs to get their act together. I think if people could just be better, I wouldn't be so angry. Mm-hmm. Or if people wouldn't do these stupid things, right, I wouldn't be so angry. Okay, so you could stop based on this call and say, wait a second. Maybe I wasn't molested when I was younger, but maybe my anger isn't about what's happening today.
Right.
It's what's happening today on top of something I don't want to talk about that happened previously. Mm-hmm. A mistake I made, or a mistake was made with me. Somebody hurt me, and I don't want to deal with it. And so, in not dealing with it, you know, we don't ever bury anything dead. We bury it alive, that's and right. It's got to be fed, and it grows. And so, when it does, maybe we could just stop today and say, is there the Bible says, root of bitterness in there that if I resolved that, oh my goodness, life would be so much more enjoyable. I wouldn't be jumping, reacting. You know, Take Your Life Back is about responding to what God wants rather than reacting foolishly to something somebody says or something that happens to me. We want to be responsive. But if we were hurt younger, in some way, or even in midlife, we can be walking around leaning an entire life up against a grudge. And who does that help? Nobody.
Well,
so I want to... Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
It's not just always a grudge or bitterness. Sometimes it's trauma, and we were traumatized. And so what a trigger is when a current situation, my body, something happens today, a current situation, and what my mind does and my body does is it goes back and it grabs a historical hurt, and it just hyper speed drives it right into the present situation. Mm-hmm. And there's this collision of all this energy, and that's what it's called to be triggered. And when I get triggered, I usually get flooded, which means my brain goes into this hyperdrive of where my common sense, logic, reasoning, lucid thinking goes away, and I just go into a highly emotionally aroused state. As I say, my whole brain goes on a stampede. And so we have to be aware. It's precisely what you're saying, Steve. We have to be aware that these things are buried alive. They're not dead. And if they're activating our present life, we have to stop and ask, what is it that's supercharging and turbocharging mm-hmm. my reactivity? I love what you're saying, Steve.
Yeah, we can resolve it. We don't have to make it worse. So really glad for that phone call. But I want you to do something about it. Not just know. It's one thing to see what you've got there. It's another thing to be willing to say it out loud, to move to action. Because then once we confess it or just open up about it, then we can take responsibility for it. We see it. We say it. We own it. And then we start to release it. We start to forgive. That might require grieving what we lost, what was stolen from us, and then finally forgive. But it's a process we can go through. These are gifts that God has given us, emotional gifts, and ways that we don't have to walk around angry, bitter, full of shame. Tell you, too much misery with so much grace and healing and comfort that's available from God. We'll take a break. We'll come back for the final segment here on December the 27th. And boy, am I ever glad that you're with us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number when you need some help. Or if you could help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we'll get people into our intensives that can't afford it. We'll be on radio. We'll help people transform their lives.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Alice Benton, Larry Sonnenberg here. Oh, Larry, we're at year end. You got to come in here and inspire people to support this ministry here year in?
Well, it's countdown time. It's 2-4. We got 4 days left. So people seem to want to give money, but they also want to keep it as long as they can and then give it at year end for tax write-offs. So I want to encourage you. We'll be here till the 31st, but if you could do it on the 27th, that'd be even better.
Mm-hmm.
We need for you, if you want it to be tax deductible this year, it's got to be postmarked if you mail it. You can call, you can go online, but if you mail it in, it must be postmarked with the 2019 postmark.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter when you write your check. If it's not postmarked in 2019, it will be receipted in 2020. And there are multiple ways to give. There are people who like to give stock gifts, and there's a benefit to that because you can, if you've held the stock for a year or more, you can avoid capital gains, and you get the full write-off of the value of the stock when you give it. And so that's something, if you're not aware of it, then give that. You can give that way.
The concept is that you bought it for a dollar, and now it's worth $10, and you sell it, and you might have to pay $3-4 of the $10 in taxes. But if you give it, you get a $9 deduction for a $1 purchase.
Yes.
That's a pretty cool thing.
Right, and no capital gains. And then just to remind folks, a testimony here, a lady wrote, "We appreciate your ministry. We went to the marriage workshop in Aurora, Colorado back in 2014.
Mm.
It turned the ship around for our individual lives, our marriage, and our family." Wow, what could be better? I mean, this is 5 years later, 5+ years later, and they're saying how important this was and what it meant. So if you want to invest in something that's going to last, here we are. I know you got a call to take. But
I think that's one of the most credible types of calls we could get, Steve, because someone that writes in, Larry, 5 years later and says that means that they implemented something new and they've sustained it.
So. I got to tell you, we were on the air one day, and we told a woman to kick her 16-year-old son out of the house. Now, some states, I don't think you can do that, but we told her that the pot smoking, the sex, this kind of stuff in her home, kick him out on the street, because her battle cry was, "I can't kick him out on the street." And when we said, and Dave and I were on together, "I think it's time for you to tell him he has to go." Because we knew this, when the kids go, they usually go find some other family to stay with. They're not actually on the street. And then they wear out their welcome. They go somewhere else. So 6 months later, I'm walking along at a seminar, and this lady walks up to me and said, "Hi, about 6 months ago, I called your program, and you told me to kick my son out of the house." And I, you know, this feeling of, dread came over me, I guess you'd say, because I was afraid what might happen, because that's such a big move. I mean, when people call us, they're real. And she looked at me and she said, "And because of that, he's been sober now for 5 months and is doing just great. We had to make that horribly difficult move for him to finally get well." And so I love it when we can hear that somebody takes our advice, and then the results aren't just for a weekend, but they're long-lasting. And one of the things that we love is our board members, Larry. Most of our board members have benefited in some way from one of our intensives, and they are giving back their time and efforts by being on the board. They pay their own way to the board meetings, all sorts of stuff. And I'm just saying, if you've ever been helped by this ministry, advice over the phone, or you went to a counselor that you heard about here, like Mylan, or maybe you went to see Alice, or maybe there was a book that started to change things forever, would you honor that and support us so that we can help somebody else with that same resource? That's what I would love to see.
And if that's happened to you, would you write us and tell us? It's so helpful for us to share that with other people.
It really is. Yeah, and you know, Larry, you go to almost every time we do Every Man's Battle. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, you know, in the marriage intensive, we see couples make this dramatic change of trajectory. But as individuals, we see such a dramatic change at Every Man's Battle. People that are dealing with evil things, and one weekend, they are looking for the high ground, the holy stuff, how to have integrity, how to be great husbands or fathers, and it happens in a weekend. And we can't do it without people's help. How much do we spend on give away on scholarships each year?
It varies year to year. We've given up to $250,000. Some years it's $170,000, $180,000. Some years $220,000. Mm-hmm. But a lot of money.
Wow.
And you know, you talked about Every Man's Battle. A guy wrote to us, he said, "My life will never be the same in more aspects than marriage." Will never be the same. Yeah. "My parenting will change. My interaction with friends will change. My self-image is something I couldn't imagine. Praise God for this workshop. It's a miracle manufacturer."
Mm-hmm. And it does.
Really
it
is.
Does always multiply like that. It never stops at just the dollar you give us or just the weekend you participate in. I've spoken with a number of men who went to EMB because of their own struggle, and now they minister to other men, and they go back every year with a group of men as alumni because that's how God's grace works. It always multiplies. We're also designed in such a way that when we give, we're happier, healthier people.
Good point.
So it just the benefits just keep spreading out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love it when people are helped and then they want to help other people. It's really an amazing thing. Let me just, as we close out the program, run down our workshops that are coming up. We need to do that. Every Man's Battle is January the 10th in Washington, D.C. And it's powerful. It's February 7th in San Jose. Intimacy and Marriage, February 14th. We try to do it every year on Valentine's, if possible, or right around there. That's in Orange County. That's me, Mylon, and Kay. It's going to be a powerful, wonderful weekend. Restore is Hope for a Woman's Heart on February the 28th. This is for any woman that has been betrayed, been in a relationship with a man that has a sexual integrity problem. Finding Freedom, July 24th in D.C., and then we're taking our annual trip. We take our listeners, anybody that wants to come, on a trip every year. And this year it's the Rhine River, September the 28th through October the 5th. And Mylon and Kay are going to join us for that. And you might want to claim that cabin sooner than later. But we've been dreaming about a trip like this to get to know you, and you get to know us. We've never been on the river before. Larry, you have been on the river. It's a pretty great experience,
yeah,
isn't it?
I took that trip, and it's amazing. And they do need to get their cabin sooner than later because we're down to about 25 cabins left out of 78. So please call and find out about that.
Please do. Hey, listen, we love you, we care about you, and we're hoping you're going to have the best year ever. And we're going to be here at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or wherever you hear this program. You know, you can hear it so many different places. You can hear it on the app at newlife.com or SiriusXM channel 131 at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. A lot of other radio programs all across the stations across the nation.
Quick scripture to close. Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We pour it into your lap. Mm-hmm. So, God bless you.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, everybody.
Thanks for
listening.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. Make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.